Fans Week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off once again with African men's football. Six more qualifying matches for the 2026 FIFA World Cup are scheduled Monday in Africa, and 15 more matches are scheduled on Tuesday, wrapping up a very busy first phase in Africa's qualifying campaign. Joining me now for some African World Cup qualifying analysis is my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
The Elephants of Ivory Coast getting ready to host the Africa Cup of Nations tournament, Mukbil. They thrash the Seychelles in the most lopsided result so far in African World Cup qualifying, 9-0. Talk a little bit about that and the other lopsided wins so far, Mukbil.
Sonny, the interesting thing about this is Ivory Coast beats the beautiful island country of Seychelles 9-0. I think the island folks are just relaxing a little bit too much over there, you know. the way that Ivory Coast was able to, you know, really put its imprint on this game was really, really scary. Interestingly enough, it wasn't like, you know, some of these games that you watch that have these huge margins. The team score as fast as the first 4 or 5 minutes maybe, but it took Ivory Coast about 20 minutes on their first PK to really get it going. So it wasn't as if, you know, Seychelles wasn't trying their very best to hold the Ivory Coast team back. It's just eventually there's this old proverb where you keep knocking, when you keep knocking, eventually somebody will open the door. So 9-0 is how they got it done. Ivory Coast off to a fantastic start. If we're going to talk about some of the other really big wins, Egypt on Thursday at their first game against Djibouti won 6-0 with Mohamed Salah, Mo Salah, knocking in 4 goals to start off his campaign. Then we have Mustafa Mohamed scoring 1 goal as well, and then Trezeguet scoring a goal. Now, interestingly enough, before we jump into the other blowout games, there's a player on the Egyptian side by the name of Trezeguet, who goes by the name of Trezeguet, I should say. And interestingly enough, this young man literally had that name has nothing to do with him. Like, his name is Mohamed Ahmed Ibrahim Hassan. And somehow, on the back of his jersey now, is Mahmoud Trezeguet. So what had happened was, as a youth player, one of his youth coaches named him after, or nicknamed him after, David Trezeguet, the French international, because they played a similar style, or because this young man was emulating that style, and he had his clean buzz cut that Trezeguet was known for. So because he, you know, he looked like him, his nickname, you know, turned into Trezeguet, and now that's the name that he goes by. So very interesting. But he's also leading in scorers. He is the second leading scorer in all comps right now, so far, right behind his teammate Mo Salah. He has 3 goals. Mo Salah has 4. Now let's jump into these other games. Senegal versus South Sudan, 4-0. Sadio Mane, the captain, is back in action, scoring 2 goals for the Senegalese side. And then we have Tunisia beating Sao Tome and Principe, 4-0. So all very good results for these bigger teams that we had predicted and expected them to do well and come out of their groups. They seem to be on pace, Sonny.
Well, Mukbil, we'll come back to Africa, but I know another lopsided result in Europe caught your eye. Tell our Sunny Side of Sports listeners about that.
The Euro qualifiers, France versus Gibraltar, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not too sure, small European country, that, man, I don't think they were ready for all that the French had. 14-0. This is the largest win margin in a Euro qualifier. The original record that was set was 13-0. The French just upped it by one. It started off really bad for Gibraltar, you know, having scored an own goal in the third minute of the game. And after that, it was just a flood of goals, you know, coming from all the big names you can think of. Thurman scored. Zaire Emery, the young man, the young French prospect, scored. Mbappe scored three times. Coleman had two goals. Dembele joined the festivities. And Giroud, the French all-time leading scorer, didn't score his first goal till the 89th minute and then scores the last two goals. So he scored the 13th and the 14th goal to put them over top in extra time off of a ricocheted shot that was in the air. He was in the box, went up for a bicycle kick. What a way to put the stamp on it with the all-time leading scorer of the French, Olivier Giroud, putting his team over the top. Phenomenal, phenomenal close. But the class of that team is scary for anybody in Europe.
Mukbil, the Atlas Lions of Morocco, they had such a great run at last year's World Cup in Qatar. They have yet to play their first qualifying match for the 2026 World Cup. They are scheduled to play Tanzania on Tuesday in Dar es Salaam. Their opening match was originally against Eritrea. It was canceled after Eritrea's withdrawal. Your reaction to Eritrea stepping out of the competition?
Really, more than anything else, Sonny, what that shows me is, you know, the climate in that country must be so bad that players or the federation or the government are thinking that individuals who are playing on the national team, if they have an opportunity to go to any of these neighboring countries, they will not come back. That says a lot, you know. Sometimes, you know, we don't talk about Eritrea, you know, as it is a smaller country with all the, you know, the turmoil and the wars and the chaos that happens to be happening in Africa at the moment. We sometimes forget about this smaller country. But nonetheless, the people must not be happy there, Sonny. If that's the first thing that you're thinking about, you know, the folks on the ground there, you know, have had a leader for decades, CS Forque, and he's just not doing it for the youth, I guess. If that's the first thing that they're gonna think about is the first opportunity that they have to go play abroad. It's not even like they might be excited to come to the West, maybe, or Europe for that matter, but to think that they're going to be taking a trip to one of the other African nations that might not really be doing that much more better than them in their eyes, but they just want to get out by any means, really, really shows that it's super unfortunate. Really sad, you know, because football and soccer, the game is such a beautiful game that can bring so much pride for people all across the world, and for Eritreans across the world to not have their team participate. It's really, really sad.
Mukbil, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Warriors of Zimbabwe returning to international competition after a FIFA suspension. They scored draws against Rwanda and Nigeria. And I think Zimbabwe football fans, Mukbil, must be pretty pleased with those results.
Absolutely exciting, Sonny. To come back into competitions, as you just mentioned, and to get two draws against two teams that people were expecting you to lose to. Honestly speaking, what a fantastic matches for them, and they're right in the middle of the pack at the moment. Interestingly enough, Nigeria, who was supposed to be taking this Group C by the reins and really taking over, is really finding themselves in some troublesome territory at the moment, Sonny. Being in that group at the moment with two draws, every team plays each other once, right? So you have five games, you've had two draws. Your potential points that you can pick up now, if you play these next three games, you know, with wins, is another 9 points. So you're looking at 11 points for Nigeria, but there's only one team that comes out of this group, and South Africa's only played one game, and they have one win. Let's say, hypothetically speaking, if Nigeria is the strongest team in the group, as we would have expected, right? Let's say South Africa loses to Nigeria but win all other games. They're through. That's a scary, scary place to be in if you're Nigeria. You never want to let another team have the opportunity or the potential for your game to be in their hands. And I wouldn't say it's too late, but it's not looking great at the moment.
I think things are looking pretty good for the Panthers of Gabon, Mukbil. They begin their qualifying campaign with two victories. And, you know, Gabon perhaps maybe could finish one of those runners-up teams that maybe either make it to the playoffs. And who knows, maybe they can finish on top of the table. Your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. I think Gabon has really shown us that regardless of what people may think about them, that they're here to play the long game, you know, and really they've started off really well. Like you mentioned, two wins, very solid victories as well across the board. You have they beat Kenya, which is a solid team. They beat Kenya 2-1. They beat Burundi as well, 2-1.
And, Mukbil, how important is it to pick up the maximum 6 points in this opening phase of qualifiers?
I think you want to get as many points as possible, Sonny, simply because there's so many different factors. If the games are being played, you know, that separate, so the next match days, if they're going to be played in the next 5 or 6 months from now, or even later, you don't know how many of your key players will still be able to play, how many of them will may be injured, as that is a part of the game naturally, how many of them will be allowed by their club teams to play, because around that time maybe, you know, there are club games that are happening. So there's a lot of things, a lot of potential possibilities in the air that you want to make sure you put yourself in the best possible position when you have the best team at that specific moment.
Finally, Mukbil, as we take a look at all these results in African World Cup qualifying, in terms of disappointing teams, I think I have to put the Super Eagles of Nigeria right up there with draws in their opening games against Lesotho and Zimbabwe. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm of all the teams, you know, that we had predicted, I think that's the team that kind of starting off to, I would say, a little bit of a slower start than expected. To get two draws, I definitely did not expect that from them. But we've seen some teams that, you know, maybe like Algeria. Algeria's first game against Somalia was a 3-1 win. But they didn't really look exceptionally great in that game. You know, they're ranked unbelievably high in comparison to Somalia. So it's interesting to see why that game went the way that it went for that team. They kind of, you know, picked it back up in their second game against Mozambique with a 2-0 win. So they're starting to move a little bit in the direction that we expected them to move into. But, yeah, I would say Nigeria and maybe a little bit of Algeria, but they've kind of picked it up and still have managed to get their two wins. So for me, it's like Nigeria hasn't gotten the results, but Algeria hasn't really looked the part because we want these teams that are coming out from these groups to be the best possible representation of the continent when it comes to the World Cup. And we know the class that's going to be played in the World Cup. So these teams, even the ones that end up winning these groups, they need to make sure that they're ready.
Talking African World Cup qualifying with Mukbil Yabaro. Thank you, Mukbil.
Thank you, Sonny.
Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter, handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com. I'll have more African World Cup qualifying news, but first, Samson Omale joins us with a package of African sports news.
Women football. Mamelodi Sundowns ladies of South Africa have won the CAF Women's Champions League trophy after defeating Morocco's Sporting Club Casablanca 3-0 on Sunday. A brace from top scorer Sokolake Refiliwe and Botumelo Rabale's strike earned the South Africans victory in Cote d'Ivoire as they reclaimed the title they relinquished last year. Sundowns' impressive run in Cote d'Ivoire not only sees them reclaim the title they lost to AS FAR last season, but they set a record of lifting the title without conceding a single goal en route to be crowned champions. In athletics, Ugandan's Jacob Kiplimo set a new world record in the 15-kilometers race with a victory at the 2023 Zevenhuisdorp Seven Hills race in Ingemergen City, Netherlands on Sunday, November 19th. The 23-year-old long-distance Ugandan athlete crossed the finish line after running 41 minutes, 05 seconds. Also a gold medalist at the 2023 World Cross Country Championships in Bathurst, Australia, and the New York City Half Marathon, Kiplimo came ahead of another Ugandan, Rogers Kibet. Kiplimo also set a world record during the Lisbon 2021 Half Marathon with 51 minutes, 31 seconds. Kibet posted 42 minutes, 44 seconds ahead of Kenya's Amos Seriem, who came in 43 minutes, 07 seconds to settle for bronze. And now to volleyball, where Kenya Pipeline are the Confederation of African Volleyball Zone 5 champions after thumping Rwanda Revenue Authority 3-0 in the club championships staged on Sunday at the BK Arena in Kigali, Rwanda. This means the Oilers won the maiden CAVB Zone 5 club championship in a beautiful fashion by completing the double against the Rwandese after tormenting them earlier in the round-robin format with a similar scoreline. The Windsor Pipeline, who are making their debut in the competition that started in 2019, complete a double against RRA, whom they had defeated 3-0 in the preliminary stage of the week-long event that came to an end on Sunday. In the third-place playoffs, Rwanda Patriotic Army overwhelmed their compatriots, Rwanda National Police 3-1, to finish third. In boxing news, former WBA junior featherweight champion Ghanaian Isaac Dabwe was defeated by Nick Ball to claim a 12-round unanimous decision victory on Saturday. All three judges scored the fight for Nick Ball 119-108, 116-111, and 118-109 in the WBC featherweight title eliminator at the AO Arena in Manchester, England. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. Returning to African World Cup qualifying, Ghana's Black Stars will travel to the Comoros Islands on Tuesday for their next qualifying match. Quabena Quicksilver Ofori has this preview for us. Sporty greetings, Quabena.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The Black Stars of Ghana, after defeating Madagascar in their Group I FIFA 2026 World Cup qualifier in Kumasi, switched attention to the second game of the group against Comoros at the Stade de Moroni this Tuesday, November 21st. Comoros are on top of the group after beating Central African Republic by 4-2, while Ghana's 1-0 win over Madagascar placed them on third position, but both teams have 3 points. After the Kumasi game last week, Ghana's head coach Chris Hughton said the match against Comoros will not be easy.
What we're all hopeful for is the momentum from this game and from this second half, taking that into Comoros, will see us in good stead.
The goal scorer of the Ghana-Madagascar game was striker Inaki Williams. Inaki said he was happy to score such a needful goal at a fully packed Babayaro Stadium where his granddad and other family members were watching. And it was his first goal for the Black Stars.
You know, when I come here, everybody told to me, thank you, welcome, Akwaba. And I'm very, very happy, you know, because my grandpa said me, you Ghana people need you. And I came here to do everything. This performance is so beautiful for me because my family is in the stadium and is dedicated for him.
That was Ghanaian striker Inaki Williams for the Sunnyside Sports, Kwabena Ofori reporting.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news.
Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week.
For the 5-minute VOA newscast.
We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe.
Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
The Super Eagles of Nigeria began their World Cup qualifying campaign with 1-1 draws against Lesotho and Zimbabwe. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with African football analyst Bayor Issa.
I believe strongly that the Super Eagles game against Zimbabwe did not come to me as a surprise. This is because the way they took their first game against Lesotho, you recall that Nigeria also struggled to equalize when Nigeria played against Lesotho. The truth of the matter is that the Super Eagles has not been consistent. If you look at their records, even though we have quality players that can change the face of the game, however, we've not been able to get a manager, a coach that will lubricate the chances of the Super Eagles to record goals, especially the begging chances that we had. Even though everybody is saying that there is need for the Super Eagles to hop their games, because this is World Cup qualifier, for God's sake, it's going to take us about 40-something months, you know, to play almost about 10, 11 matches. And it is our hope that Nigeria, which is to be the leader when it comes to football, considering our pedigree across the globe in terms of World Cup, in terms of Nations Cup, I believe strongly that the Eagles should have an edge. However, we have a problem, and that problem definitely Nigerians would solve it.
With 2 points from two games and more games to be played, do you think the Super Eagles will bounce back to winning ways?
Of course, with 2 points from two games, the Eagles can still bounce back. This is because if the players themselves are determined, you know, to ensure that all the opportunities given to them will be displayed to yield positive results. But then there is need for us to always come together as Nigerians, particularly the players, the likes of Taiwo Awoniyi has been managing injury for almost about 3-4 months or so. Iheanacho is not clicking. Osimhen has one or two personal problems apart from injury. So I think that the multitude of problems in the Super Eagles should be addressed by the administrators led by Ibrahim Guzo. And I think if they can, you know, follow the sequence of the demands of the players, we should be able to come back and win convincingly.
Some football analysts think that the Super Eagles coach is not adopting the correct tactics or strategy for their games, and this has in turn affected their play. What's your take on this?
Of course, some football analysts talked about the Super Eagles pattern. I want to believe that it's not even a question of pattern. The coach we have is not the type that will do justice to the Super Eagles of Nigeria. I want to agree with them that the Eagles can only fly again if possibly we get another coach. Pesero is a journeyman. He's not been able to come out with a clear-cut pattern that will give the opportunity to Nigerians to say that this is the pattern we are playing. The last game we played against Lesotho, it was 4-2-4.
The game against Zimbabwe was very tough, but I think that the Eagles ought to have studied the Zimbabweans. This is not the first time we're meeting Zimbabwe, but I hope that the game is now an eye-opener for us before we play the next game in June. I believe the Super Eagles can still qualify if they put their acts together.
That's African football analyst Bayor Issa, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye. The AP Steve Carney joins us now with a package of American sports news. And Steve says he'll be kicking off with a big comeback by the Detroit Lions in the U.S. National Football League.
The Detroit Lions rally from down 12 points with less than 5 minutes to play, scoring the final 17 points of a 31-26 win over Chicago. Quarterback Jared Goff credits his team's resiliency.
It's a lot easier to play bad and win than it is to play bad and lose. And kind of what we did today, we played not our best ball and not my best ball for, you know, about 3.5 quarters, and find a way to make it work there at the end. It's a sign of a good team. We're a resilient group.
The Lions are now 8-2 on the year. The Bears fall to 3-8. The Browns, Texans, Jaguars, Dolphins, Cowboys, Packers, and Giants were also early Sunday winners. The Los Angeles Rams use a fourth quarter rally to end their 3-game skid. Mark Myers has details.
Matthew Stafford directed 2 fourth quarter scoring drives, giving the Rams a 17-16 win over the Seahawks. Stafford finished with 190 passing yards and 1 touchdown.
Just proud of our team, man. This is such a team win. Field goal to win it. It was total team effort.
DK Metcalf scored Seattle's only TD on a pass from Geno Smith.
The Bills and 49ers were also winners late Sunday afternoon. The Denver Broncos now own the longest current winning streak in the NFL at 4 in a row after Russell Wilson's 15-yard touchdown pass to Cortland Sutton with just over a minute to play gave them a 21-20 win over the Vikings, ending Minnesota's 5-game winning streak. Wilson says Sunday night's win was a total team effort.
You know, the defense did a great job the whole game to stop, and the defense has been unbelievable the past several weeks, and we're just playing as a team.
Broncos are now 5-5 on the season. The Vikings fall to 6-5. LeBron James scores 37 points, including a free throw with under 2 seconds to play, giving the Lakers a 105-104 win over Houston. The 76ers, Raptors, Magic, Cavaliers, Kings, Celtics, Thunder, and Suns were also winners in the NBA. And free agent pitcher Aaron Nola has decided to stay in Philadelphia. The right-hander agrees to a 7-year deal with the Phillies worth a reported $172 million. Steve Carney.
And that wraps up the November 20th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.